Today's Sports Spectrum is presented by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Great partners with us here at Sports Spectrum, releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. The pandemic really affected tons of kids and their families, especially those overseas. Compassion wasn't going to have it, though. They weren't just going to sit around and watch the pandemic have this impact and not do something about it. And so Fill the Stadium was born, and we were hoping to fill 70,000 empty seats representing a child in need. And my goodness, you guys have come through, and we were almost there. We're almost there, but we still have a little bit more to go, and we need your help. Sponsorship includes food, education, medical care, vocational training, all done in Jesus' name. You can go to fillthestadium.com right now to learn more, to pray, and to donate with Compassion International. Releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. This is a stadium that cannot remain empty. Check out fillthestadium.com to donate, and thank you.
This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where faith and sports intersect. Now let's bring in our host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is Sports Spectrum. So glad you're tuning in today. We got a great conversation with Scotty Graham coming up, the former NFL running back, now running backs coach with the University of Arizona. First, I want to tell you about our website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you go check that out each and every day for all of our content, including devotionals, podcasts, articles, and stories. Really, it's a resource center. sportsspectrum.com. It's resource generated. It's stories that you can share with others as we bring Jesus back into the sports conversation. So make sure you check out sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, sign up for our weekly newsletter. Just click that newsletter icon at the top of the website, and you're good to go to receive our weekly newsletter, keeping you up to date on all the happenings and the stories that you may have missed with Sports Spectrum. And you can do all that at sportsspectrum.com. Now, Scotty Graham, man, I love Scotty. I met Scotty almost 10 years ago when I was at ESPN, and it was almost an accident, really, in the way that I met Scotty. I had booked a day with Calvin Johnson, the Detroit Lions Hall of Fame wide receiver, and Calvin was coming to ESPN that day to promote Madden and to do a bunch of interviews at ESPN. It was a lot of fun, actually. He did a ton of things. I got a picture with him that I can put up on my social if you guys want to see it. But it was Scotty Graham who accompanied Calvin Johnson that day at ESPN. And I remember talking to Scotty and thinking, man, I remember you when you played at Ohio State. And I remember you when you played with the Minnesota Vikings. What are you doing? And he said, hey, I work with the NFL Players Association. He was there for 16 years, by the way, including a stint as director of player development. Just doing a lot of great things, working with players and engaging with players. And you saw this guy in the unique relationship that he had with Calvin, but a guy who took an interest in me. Hey, Jason, tell me about you. Tell me about what makes you tick. And I told him about my faith and certainly my journey, and we just hit it off. And I thought, man, this guy is an encourager like I hadn't met in a long time. And when I read the story recently that he was now coaching with the University of Arizona as a running backs coach, and he's 52, and this is his first coaching job at 52 years old, I thought, we got to get Scotty on because he loves Jesus, he loves impacting young people, he loves pouring positivity into people, and he did that today on the show. So I think you're going to enjoy Scotty Graham, longtime NFL running back, running backs coach with the Arizona Wildcats in the Pac-12. Let's take a listen to Scotty here on Sports Spectrum. Scotty, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
I got to start off by saying, Wildcats, bear down, baby. What's going on, Jace, man? Long time. I'm delighted to see you. I'm glad you're doing well post-pandemic. So that's always a good thing.
Yes, sir. It's great to see you as well. And we were talking beforehand. You and I met at ESPN. And I remember the day, because it was 2012, as I was thinking through, you were escorting Calvin Johnson. Megatron was there around ESPN with me. We were taking him through the ESPN car wash around the ESPN campus, doing a bunch of interviews on our various shows. I think he was promoting Madden, you know, in the Madden video game. And, but I remember really taking a liking to you and your personality. We kind of hit it off that day. And I was like, I like this guy, Scotty. You remember that day?
Oh yeah. Energy doesn't lie. You just got to pay attention to it. So I've been very fortunate to have good chi or good energy. And, you know, working with young people, they could smell it out just like any other baby or dog. If you're a bad person, they could smell it and go, nah. So I'm thankful that I got good chi, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, because the grace of God, Jesus Christ, is why I choose humility. And people are attracted to that humility.
I was attracted, I'll tell you that. And you and I hit it off, and we had that great conversation. I'll never forget about faith, and it connected us. And that was a big part of your job when I think about that, that energy, that connectivity. For many years was player development, player engagement with the NFL's Player Association. Can you kind of share with our audience just at that time, the role and kind of how that evolved with the NFL's Player Association, Players Association?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Gene Upshaw. My first 10 years, I was on the labor side. And, you know, Gene knew I could talk to, from Peyton Manning to a guy that was, you know, because Peyton wants to know everything. And he'll stay after the meeting. He's cerebral that way. He wants to know everything with the collective bargaining agreement. So my job was to go to a locker room and be able to spread information and disseminate to every medium in that locker room. You have to do it orally. You have to put up, you know, slides, but you wanted to make sure they understood what they were signing off on. And then when Tamar Smith came in, he goes, hey, you're going to marketing. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to marketing. I didn't say that, but I didn't want to go to marketing. I want to be on the front line. He goes, well, you know how to build relationships when people trust you. You need to be on the marketing side. And, you know, you're going to be a guy that, you know, you're going to be our wolf. You're going to be just like in Pulp Fiction. You go, when something doesn't go right, we're going to find somebody that can make it happen. And that was really cool on this part. I didn't know the language they were even speaking when I first went down to player marketing. I was like, oh my God, what am I into? And a good friend of mine, Warren Moon, just said, hey man, be Scotty, you'll be fine. And you know, fast forward to now, to when I got the job here, he was like, just go be Scotty and you'll be fine. So relationships are important. They're important to our head coach. And I did the same thing when I used to work at Arizona State. It was about relationships and who trusts you and who don't. Once they trust you, you got an opportunity to teach them something. And so I've been teaching, you know, my entire life, not necessarily how to run a football, but life. You know, I have a running joke that, you know, most coaches coach from 9 to 5. Well, I'm coaching from 6 to 9 when he leaves you. And they have to make decisions at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. They better have some good plays to be able to get home so they don't run this thing into the ground.
You have this new role now, Scotty, as a coach leading the running backs at the University of Arizona. It's your first coaching role, which I guess I didn't know that. But when you look back at your journey, of course, it makes sense because you were with the PA for so many years and then spent some time with Arizona State. So now you're with Arizona as a coach. Tell me about the decision to move into coaching.
I just thought about what would I want to do with the rest of my life. And I remember just watching football and I'm like, I have to be involved in this more. I mean, I have to. I have so much to offer this sport and it's given me so much. So why not go back to it? And I remember just talking to my wife about it and she's like, go for it. She says, you say you act like a coach every day anyway, so you might as well do it. Obviously, I'm not a coach, NCAA rules, but I coach them in life. And I just know that life, once life is good, coaching is easy. So I had a player in my office a minute ago, young player. Every Monday, I just want 5 to 7 minutes. How you doing? Just tell me how you doing. Is everything good? Is anything I could help you with? But we don't talk about football in my office. We talk about life. One of my young men just came in. We were talking about dogs, and he was like, how excited his dog gets when he gets home. And he just, the dog cannot, you know, when he hears his car pull up, he just freaks out. And I asked him what his dog's voice was like, and he told me. So, you know, they get a chance to be themselves, but there will be no confusion on their coach first.
That's so important, isn't it? That they know that you care about the person, not just their performance on the football field.
Yeah, well, the performance is going to tie into where you live off the field. That's what people don't understand. Like with anything you're good at, if you don't spend time doing it, you're probably not going to be very good at it. And if it's not hard, you're probably not going to really want it. Things you generally want, which I believe you can get, because if you say it in a word, it has to happen. So I spoke this into existence. Go, I want a coach and I'm going to do everything necessary to do it. I prayed on it. I meditated. My wife prayed every day. And I just knew it was going to happen. If anything about this, it probably just make you laugh. You've seen the transition. I'm like, I want to be an athletic director. I became that. And people were like, how did this guy, who was an administrator, corporate guy, become an athletic director? Faith. And God said, well, it takes a month. It'll take me a day. Yeah. So if you think about how beyond blessed I am, Felicia Allen said to me, this is nothing but God. Nothing but God. When I got this job, she called me and she said, Scotty, oh, I'm so excited for you. And And Felicia's an incredible person of influence. And that just took me back that I was living such a life that people saw that in me. And I think that I don't ever want to be in a situation where I'm not being genuine, but genuine in Christ, though. So if you're able to do that, and remember, you're in an educational environment, so you technically cannot talk about the gospel. But if they ask you, then he asked me, I'm going to answer the question. So I want to live my life in such that people go, what are you? And now that gives me a chance to tell my story. And it's pretty cool. But coaching the guys is just life. Running the ball is, in my mind, is like, that's what they do. They want to do that. Now, when they're not doing life right, the running's not good. So it's parallel.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. We're going to talk about your story in a second. But you go from Arizona State, where you work at the student athlete development, to Arizona. Are you taking some heat going to a rival school in the Pac-12? I was thinking about that. I'm like, wait a minute, Arizona State to Arizona. Okay.
Well, I didn't take any heat. It's not like I was going to Michigan. I mean, I didn't go to school at Arizona. I have 2 degrees from the Ohio State University. I mean,
that's true.
It's not my rivalry. It's an opportunity to coach. I mean, it was no secret that I wanted to coach. So
yeah,
they gave me an opportunity. I don't look at it as an adversary. I look at it as an opportunity to grow and teach young men to be better young men.
Yeah, that's really well said. He is Scotty Graham, the former NFL running back at The Ohio State University in college, played in the NFL for a few years with the Jets, the Vikings, and the Bengals. 0 fumbles, I saw, in your 6-year career, Scotty. You got to hang on to that one, right? That's a big deal.
That's the first thing on my resume, because it says a lot about you. It just does. Right. To go, how did you do that? I'm like, I never thought about it. And one thing that you have to be able to do is really put that piece of your mind. Like, people don't realize how much the mind controls holding the ball. Two things. At Arizona, we don't have rules. We have standards. And for me, as a running back coach, my 2 standards are, you will never fumble and you'll always be yourself. I don't want to pretend to be here. I want to know you like I want you to know me. They know me. They know my wife. They know my children. They met them both. So you're never going to fumble. And there's never an excuse to fumble. I don't care if you get knocked out. You should still be holding onto the ball. And they know that. And so I just knew that it was important. I looked at it like an opportunity. I never looked at it like, oh my God, I never fumbled. I looked at it like, I'm going to get the ball and I'm maybe to get 35, 40 yards a game. That'll be 500 yards per year. That's a nice little bonus.
Absolutely. Now, you had 0 fumbles in the game. Did you ever fumble in practice?
People try. If I did, I don't remember. And I don't think I did.
How about in college? Did you ever fumble at Ohio State?
I never fumbled ever.
Ever. I like that. I like that. So what was the key there? You said it was the mind over just practicing and performance, right?
You think, therefore you are. So if you think you're going to fumble, you're probably going to fumble it. Like, you see guys catch jugs machines all the time. You catch them catching the game, they can't catch a cold. It's because they don't really think they're going to catch it. Mm-hmm. So I never, like I said, I never really thought about fumbling at all. I just know you better not do it.
Yeah. Huh. There's such a parallel to life too, right? Like, just understanding that we are going to stumble, but if we have a mindset that we're not going to fumble, then it's going to be a pretty good path, I think, that we're going to end up on.
Well, I mean, at the same time too, I get a letter. I mean, I get emails from people all the time that are praying. And the one that came today was amazing. They talked about, scars, and God allowed to have those scars to tell stories.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't mind scars because it's only going to tell my story and make me better. And that's really cool when you're able to get those messages and be able to talk to the kids about them. Because I'm not a big yeller. I talk to them. And this is what I generally do, like this. And then they know I'm kind of upset at them.
Yeah. What are some of your scars, Scotty? When you think back to your journey in your life, what are some of the scars that have helped you and kind of shaped you to come to where you are today and share your story?
That's a good one. Just never wanting to fail and putting pressure on myself and what a failure looked like. My mom went to grade 8, as they said. I was the first person to graduate from college. Not growing up with a dad, not being able to go to somebody and go, like my son, he's 28 years old. We talk all the time now, just as fathers. I never had that. I had coaches that helped me. So those hurt. Because, knowing I have kids myself, it's like I would do anything for my kids. You know, did I do something wrong? And I know people understand that, but I've given forgiveness to everything that's ever happened to me. I mean, and having children myself is nothing that I wouldn't do for them. So I can never hold anything against somebody from the way I grew up. I mean, but I get scars every day. I mean, they're your feelings. You'll get over them. And for me, like Mr. T said, I pity the fool. That's what it is. And he was speaking scripture. And he didn't even know he was probably at the time. I pity the fool.
I know.
So I pity the fool. I mean, Nas said it the best. I wish you the best, even though you wish me the opposite. Sooner or later, we all gonna see who the prophet is.
Not having a dad, did that hinder your ability to see God as Father when you were growing up?
No, because I always knew I always have a heavenly Father. When I was 13 years old, gave my life to Christ. I was good. I mean, I'm like, in Philippians 4:13, I could do all things. He didn't say something. So there was no option for me. I was going to the NFL. I was graduating. I was going to have a beautiful wife. I was going to have amazing kids. I was always going to be able to employ myself. The way I negotiate things is, and I tell young people that every day, most people negotiate vertically. I negotiate horizontally. My faith, I'm not bending for. My family, I'm not building for. I'm not bending for no foolishness. It's on one line with commas. And at the end, it says, and love. But there's not going to be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Because really the thing you want is in the middle. Once they cross that out, you're beat. But when you tell people I've bended for anything, sorry. And I'm not. It doesn't say I need to bend for anything. It says choose humility, but I don't need to break anything that I want. Because everything I ever wanted, God has given me. So I can't even honestly tell you. I look back at it, Jason, and it's like funny. Like, really? And one of my best friends who could probably write an amazing book about us. I mean, I remember saying, I'm going to meet a beautiful wife one day. And I met her. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have great kids. Guess what, man? I think I want to be an AD. He was like, really? I'm like, Then 2 years ago, I said, hey, man, I'm going to be coaching soon, watching. He was like, okay. But faith without works, I mean, I put in the work to get there. I built some relationships, you know? So right. If you can cash some of those relationships in, and that's the biggest lesson I could tell 18 to 25-year-olds, they think in their mind that I could do what I want to do. No, you're 18 will affect your 50, i.e., I got this job. I played for Brian Billick. I played for Chris Forrester. That's Coach Fish's best friends. So when they said, I need a running back coach, he said, hire Scotty Graham. He's like, what? No, hire Scotty Graham. So the people that I knew cared about me, they knew I was going to take care of the ball. They knew I was going to do what I was supposed to do. So you kind of want that guy around you guys. You want a guy that's going to make sure he does it right. Not perfect, but just do it right. So I'm excited about that.
Let's take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you a little bit more about Compassion International and our Fill the Stadium initiative. They have been great partners and sponsors with us here at Sports Spectrum. We love what Compassion stands for. We love what they are all about, releasing kids from poverty, helping children in crisis. We know about the pandemic. We know COVID has affected so many, and it's affected 70,000 children and their families that were in Compassion programs as well. And so Compassion and our pro athlete friends decided to join together and stand in the gap for those 70,000 kids, and thus Fill the Stadium was born. And our goal last year was to fill 70,000 seats, empty seats, of kids in need. And here's an amazing update. So far, we've filled over 56,000 of those seats. We are almost there. We are about three quarters of the way there, but it's not a sold-out stadium yet. We are trying to help 70,000 kids, so we got about 14,000 seats to go, and we need your help. Check out fillthestadium.com to donate and help release these children and their family from poverty. We're talking about essential food, medical care, and support for a kid and their family in need during this pandemic. You can go right now to fillthestadium.com and donate today. fillthestadium.com. Who are some of the guys when you got to the league? You were seventh round draft pick, right? So you're behind the eight ball right there in the seventh round in 1992 to the Jets. You play one season there.
It was actually Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh that drafted
Pittsburgh
you.
Drafted me.
You ended up with the Jets, though, that year,
yes,
right?
That same year. I was on practice squad. And they picked me up and signed me to two games. And that was more money than I made all year long. So I took the money.
And then you signed a deal with Minnesota and you're there. That's where you really spend the majority of your career and probably form the majority of the relationships that you made in the NFL from your playing days. Who were some of the guys when you came in the league spiritually that helped you along on this journey? Because the league is the league. And I've talked to many players, and when they get into that league, it can eat you up. And especially even if you proclaim or say you have a faith, it's still hard. Who are some of the guys that you kind of had that you could lean on and talk
Solomon, to? Solomon Wilcox. And all these guys you're going to love. Wilcox, I drove him every day. I mean, I literally drove him to work every day. That was my job, to wake him up, and I drove him in every day. Rob Woodson told me to date my wife. I mean, you're talking about some incredible men. I mean, just two, just to name in Pittsburgh. I go to the Jets as James Hasty to Brian Washington. I mean, you get a chance to you know, Kippy, the running back coach, who's been around forever, was at Tennessee. I mean, Chris Carter, I'd be remiss. I mean, Warren Moon, these are all good men. And when I'm able to say Warren, you know, my son asked me, was I his friend? He, you know, he thought about it. And we go sit in the sauna. And he said, hey, yeah, tell me he's your best friend, but you're his dad first. And I'm like, wow, just being able to, Chris Carter, hey, man, Denny always gives us a ticket. So use this ticket to go see your son's black, I mean, you know, his promotion for his yellow belt. Being able to go to other men and go, you know, what do you think? And I mean, Chris Dome and Johnny Randall, we stay in touch with every, you know, me and Johnny talk once or twice a month. Warren, I talk to all the time. Me and Warren probably talk, if not three times a month, four times a month. Sean Salisbury, I mean, all those guys were just, I was around some good men. I mean, some contemporaries. I mean, just amazing when you think that I watched Warren Moon in high school and I was playing with him. And Jim McMahon, I'm looking in the huddle like, that's Jim McMahon. Like, that's unbelievable. And Jim just taught me about humility. Jim is, I mean, I saw him maybe about a year ago at some quarterback club. He just hugged me. He said, Scott, hey, you know. And when you do it right, people kind of want to, not kind of, I'm like a gym rat. I was always like a little old dude, I guess. You know, I was about my business and practice started at 9. I'd be there at 7:30 in Ty's office watching film. Tyrone Willingham was a huge fan. Denny Green, man, Brian Billick was a guy. He was glad to be the grandfather of technology. I mean, he was using PowerPoints from 93, 94. I mean, he was literally doing PowerPoints then. When nobody else was just using those overheads. And so Chris Forrester, I mean, I've had a lot of people to just well-wished and believe, like, I want Scotty to do good. And I mean, I'm beyond blessed from the relationships I've been able to build. And so I hope I didn't forget anybody, but, you know, Chris, again, Chris is like, Scott, you're going to be fine, man. Just go to Arizona and be yourself. And I'm like, wow. So one of the things in our pro model is originality. So be yourself. So, I mean, I get a chance to, you know, wake up every day and be the best Scotty Graham I can be, the best version of me.
What's a day look like with Scotty in his walk with God and connecting with Jesus? What does that look like each day for you?
I pray just everything that I do, can I manifest your word in it? And one of my colleagues at the NFLPA said, are you acting? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I saw you go in a room and what were you doing? I said, I was praying. He said, what? I said, yeah, I was praying. Like, God, can you give me some words that will move these men to understand exactly what I'm saying? And being able to really turn the other cheek, if that makes sense. I guess the big thing people talk about is integrity. And I ask all young people, do you have integrity? They go, yeah, I do. Like, would you ever kill anybody? No. If I had a Glock to your mother's head, would you kill me? Oh, yeah. So be careful. Circumstances will determine what type of integrity you have. So don't let anybody use you. Relationship's good for me and good for you. If it's good for you, bad for me, I'm being used. And nobody told you to be used. So it's always a good thing when the young people come in your office and you go, what'd you go to school? And they go, so-and-so Catholic. You're like, yes, sir. You were chosen from the beginning. Remember that? Now when they come in, they go, I'm like, what'd you go to school? And they're like, so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm like, oh God, no background. Lord, tell me something that's going to make them believe that you actually exist. And I remember one time I had an athlete. They were meeting and they were reading Tim Tebow's book.
Yeah.
And I said, man, Tim's a great dude. They said, really, you know him, coach? I said, yeah, man, he's a great dude. I mean, he's a guy that brought more people to Christ than any other athlete, I think. I mean, he just was, I mean, just, you felt it. Like, this dude is different.
Yes.
And one of the guys comes to my office and he goes, man, he just starts crying. He goes, I'm living my life foul. I haven't done anything. I mean, you know, I'm ashamed. I'm promiscuous. I'm drinking too much. And I'm like, hey, you could be fixed just like that. I mean, and he just came and I mentored him and he introduced me to his wife. I'm like, oh my God, at the wedding. I'm like, 2 years ago, and this guy becomes team captain. And it's like, then he started having services with his team. And I'm not going to name the team, but he actually has services with his team. Sure. Literally had the guys. And I'm like, you know, and the coach was like, hey man, just keep doing what you're doing. These guys are playing amazing. He's in the pro league right now. And to me, that's where my reward comes. When they go, I want you to meet my mom. I want you to meet my, you know, this girl I'm dating, or I want you to meet my dad. And they seek you out at the spring game. Like my dad, you know, or you call, I call their moms and their dads. And I'm like, who do you want me to call, your mom or your dad? And they're like, no, call them both. So when their moms go, it's nice meeting you, Coach Graham. I heard a lot about you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, they want to hear about their sons. I don't talk about football. I just tell them how they're doing in life. So I'll probably over this next week, because most people will be home on the holidays. I'm going to call the parents again. Mm-hmm. And a couple of parents come to practice. We talk every day. I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I coach their kid, and you trust me with them, and I will make sure that I take care of them.
I love that. You mentioned integrity being of utmost importance. Define or describe integrity.
It's a foundation. It's bylaws. It's Deuteronomy's numbers. of how you do things. I was telling somebody the other day, like, turning of the cheek, and they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, you turn the cheek, because if it hit this one again, you probably get annoyed, so you turn it. And I don't think they're silly enough to hit you on the other side. And so either you have it or you don't. It's not a situation where you could build it. I think you build it by reading, by studying God's word, because circumstances will, because I can kill for you. I just can't kill for me. Now, do I want to kill anybody? No. But if you capture my kid and my kid needs to be free, then you got to go. I'm sorry. I'm going to protect those people. I'm going to protect my family. I have to. Not that I want to do anything like that, but I don't want to define what integrity is, because, you know, some guys, you know, define integrity like, I wouldn't rob a lady. Well, I'm a rob a lady, but I'm not going to take a ring. That's their integrity. Even thieves have integrity. Integrity is just doing what you say you're going to do. And to me, I use my integrity from what God said. Don't turn the other cheek. You're fine. Trust me, when people do me wrong or people have done me wrong, I say, all right, no problem. Good luck. You're not going to be able to handle it anyway when you get it. So good luck. And that that part of transition, that's what you're made out of. Like Rudyard Kipling, I got a poem called If. And you could do all these things. I mean, it's amazing when I got that poem, because I try to give it to people to go, everything you built, they tear it down. And they blame you for everything. What are you going to do? For me, I just prayed hard. It's like, you get me out of this and we get to laugh. But during the time, it's not funny. And what I do, Jason, too, I on my watch, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a butterfly on it.
Yes.
And so the butterfly reminds me of the phase this butterfly has to go through. I mean, it's like, I'm going to fly. And some people are like, you're a mustache, man. You ain't going to fly. No, I'm going to fly. And guess what? God's going to make me original. I mean, like, you not nobody's going to look like me. Nobody. Fingerprints, toenails, nothing else is going to look the same. And if that caterpillar rushes the process and gets that wing out of there, and he has one, then he's probably going to be lunch. He's going to go to the ground in a circle, and he's going to be lunch. But if he waits and gets through that process, you're going to sprout wings and fly. And this is not me saying this. This is what the word says. And I won't get tired. So to me, I'm just leaning on what God says. And if he said it, God said, then that's, I mean, I say it with some authority. God said he's going to give me a job, not just a regular job. He's going to give me a Power 5 job. Now, you tell me without God that I went from being an administrator to being a Power 5 coach. Yeah, I got an answer for you. Yeah. God, if you told somebody, you go stop me. God, I know at ESPN, I met him, and heck, you met me about Calvin, because Calvin didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to be on the cover of Madden, and you know, and we gave money to his, you know, ESPN, EA gave money to his foundation, and it doesn't say me and Calvin are still friends today. He was mad at me. He was mad. I don't want to get hurt. I'm like, you got hurt last year, and you weren't on Madden. So just take the money. I mean, he didn't need it, but once he got there, he was like, wow, I like this. I'm glad I came. Trust me, it wasn't fun. Trust me, it wasn't fun. But again, I had to fix something I had nothing to do with. And so I spoke to his heart. And we talked about wives. Yes, you know, why did I get married? And he does a lot of philanthropy. And I said, you'll meet somebody in philanthropy. So his family's great. I mean, they're all doctors. He's one of the best ever people that I think I've met in my life. I know his mom. Those things just, you call it luck. Preparation meets opportunities. Look, if I don't go and do the internships, I don't see Chris Forrester. I don't see Bobby Turner. I sit back and go, I want to coach. It took some action. And, you know, it took some bravery. And I was scared. Oh, boy, I was scared. I'm like, man, you know, you're looking for a job while you have a job. Your employee might be a little upset. And then you don't have a job. So it was like, you know what? I want to do this. So I made it known. I remember I sent out a tweet when I left the 49ers. And I'm like, after doing this internship, I realized that I can actually call myself an expert. I've played this game. I've coached this game. I raised money for this game. Help other people. Did it in college, did it in pros. I'm an expert. I've got over 30 years vested in this thing. Why not call myself an expert in this? So it's unique. I get a chance to wake up every day and go, whoa, and manifest God's excellence. I mean, just really, I get a chance to manifest it every day. And then when the young people come to you and they want to talk to you, or they go out and they talk to you about the situation. I mean, that's truly movement. Or when you check in with a guy. I mean, I check in with guys all the time. And it's funny. They literally, I can't believe you calling me. I'm like, I got to check on you, see how you doing, man. We all need somebody to hold on to. So I'm just checking on you, make sure you're good. And when you're doing it sincerely, people feel that. And they want to be around it. Like I said, good energy is cool. John Gordon book, Energy Bus. Are you a vampire? No. And the way I get fed is by compliments. It's almost like that Monsters, Inc. Like, I guess it was laughter. And for me, it's just joy and peace, and knowing that I don't want anything from you except for you to succeed. That is a unique quality that I used to be a fullback. Trust me, every once in a while they gave me a ball, but I didn't want to play fullback. But guess what? It made me a good pro because I could block. So they wouldn't cut me every year. Then they realized, you know what? Randy Moss, Chris Carter, they blitz. Who's going to pick it up? Obviously, the other running backs can do it. I mean, but they knew I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And also, too, being a good teammate. You know, all my teammates. I talked to Robert Smith the other day and Eddie McDaniel and Chris Walsh. I mean, they were funny. I was going through the airport. We wanted, like, all of us on the phone call at the same time. And we just laughing about some of the old times. And, you know, it's good.
You're bringing the energy today here on Sports Spectrum. Scotty, appreciate you. As we wind down, I'm really fascinated to learn what God has been teaching you lately, especially when you think back to the last year and a half, right? And everything that's changed in our world since March of 2020, but where you are today and where God's brought you through. And man, it's pretty cool to watch where he has brought you through to where you're coaching now. And I love it with Arizona. What's the great lesson when you think back that the Lord has kind of taught you and shown you during these past, I don't know, whatever it is, year, 15 months, whatever it is?
Details. We have a God of details. We don't have a God to go, I want this. No, be specific what you want. I want a beautiful wife that is a godly woman that loves God and is going to love her family. If you say you just want to meet a woman, you'll meet a woman. Be beautiful. But there's no foundation to it. So to me, I wanted to be on a staff that cared about. When I see my other coaches meditating in the office in the morning, I'm like, whoa. And we get closer. And it's funny because, and again, my wife said, stop saying it's funny, but it's weird that you have other men. When we get the Bible for coaches and you see coaches in the morning reading, I mean, those are my closest people on the staff because it's like, I know you have a foundation. And I mean, we see each other, 4 or 5 days, if I don't talk to him, I'll call him. And there's another brother. So really details. I mean, when you ask God for something, asking details, like I want to be drafted. Yeah, you were drafted, but you're drafted and you're playing behind Emmitt Smith. Okay. When are you going to play? I kid it. No, I want to be drafted to a team that can use me and can play me and sustain it and give me determination and discernment, be able to make right decisions because you'll have plenty of them. You just got to make the right one. And if you don't practice it, you won't be able to do it. So I ask for a lot and he gives me a lot. I mean, I ask for a lot because my cup runneth over. I mean, any blessing I want, he's given to me. And it may have taken time, but the details are so important. People talk about details, but details are so important. If you're supposed to be lined up at 7.5, why are you at 7? Who taught you that?
Yeah,
that's you being deviant. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Your mom been telling you that since you've been 6 years old. Pay attention. And what do you pay for that? Nothing. You just give me your time. Give your attention to me so I can teach you. So it's a fun with my group of guys. They're hilarious. They think I'm the funniest guy in the world, but they know Coach Graham. When I go like this to them, they know I mean in business. But my guys, when they come in here, they're my guys. I mean, they know it. And it's unique because I'm more than lucky to be their coach. And I tell them that all the time. And I constantly give them food. I do. I mean, I constantly, you know, give them quotes that I think about, like, don't talk about it, be about it. You know, stuff that they can think, like, what song do you have in your head that's going to be able to make you go? Like me, soul to soul, keep on moving, don't stop. Keep on moving. And when I'm going, and then also, too, to be in shape. You can't talk about it and not be about it. You know, they go, Coach, how old are you? I'm like, 52. They're like, what? 52? I'm like, yeah, I'm 52. What? You're my dad's age. I'm like, yeah, my son's 28. And they you know, that's important to me too, to make sure that I stay in shape because you get one of these bad boys, you better take care of it. And it doesn't even belong to you. So while you're renting it, you better take care of it.
Yes, Scotty Graham. God is in the details. I love talking to you, my friend. Loved having you back on the show and reconnecting with you since our meeting almost 10 years ago. It's kind of crazy, but all the best to you, my friend. Just really excited for all that God's doing in your life and come back again sometime. I'd love to have you back.
Well, I appreciate you, man. God bless. And let's stay connected like we always do. It's always good hearing from you. The energy right back. I'm like, I know you had to giggle. I'm like, I'm coaching now. You're like, what? What did this happen? You know? But yeah. Like I said, you got to go, man. God is, you look up and go, man, you said it may take you a year. I'll do it in one day. And when I got the phone call, it was like, really? Mm-hmm. He was like, what'd I tell you? My faithful servant, look what you have. And yeah. Boy, it says those who serve shall not want. And I don't find myself wanting a lot of peace and happiness right now.
Yeah. Thanks, man. God bless you.
All right. We'll talk soon.
And that was Scotty Graham. Just appreciate his wisdom and him joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. You can look him up on Twitter and give him a follow. He is Scotty Graham, S-C-O-T-T-I-E, Graham, running backs coach, Arizona Wildcats. And just excited that college football is almost back. It's coming. Just a couple more weeks, we have college football here, and I'm excited for Scotty, first of all, with Arizona, but just excited for college football to be returning in another season of football here in 2021. Thanks to Scotty for being here on Sports Spectrum. Thanks to you for listening as well. Make sure you check out our podcast on all the podcast apps and platforms that you can find. Just search Sports Spectrum. If you're listening, whatever app you're listening on right now, do us a favor, click that follow button, that new follow button on the Apple Podcasts app. It's also there on Spotify. That way you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum. It's like subscribing in the old way, but now it's just clicking that follow button so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And tell someone about today's show, if you could. It would mean a ton to share this podcast with someone that you know and introduce them to Sports Spectrum. Like we said, we are a resource-generated media ministry. That means we have resources that you can use to tell others about Jesus. We just do it through sports. But we have this opportunity here to bring interviews like Scotty Graham to you, and you can share it with someone else, and maybe they hear about Jesus for the first time. So again, share this, tell someone about Sports Spectrum, check out our website, sportsspectrum.com, and then join us next time right here on the show. My name is Jason Romano. We really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day.